Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. I want to share a word with you today on this topic. Humanity has a problem. Humanity has a problem. And I want to use primarily the text that we find in Romans, the third chapter, the 23rd verse. And it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And if I were to really place the emphasis in the right place, it is, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so we recognize here, or at least it is exclaimed, that humanity has a problem. And it is a problem, not because I say it's a problem, but it's a problem because the Word of God, and therefore God Himself, says that it is a problem. And it is not a problem that is restricted to the black man or the white man, the rich man or the poor man, the woman or the man, the boy or girl. It is a universal problem. It's not a national pandemic or epidemic. It is a worldwide problem. And again, we find that the Lord says all have sinned and come short of His glory. And so one of the things that we need to recognize right out of the gate here is that it is a problem that should concern all of humanity. If it is a problem for all of humanity, then it should concern all of humanity. And therefore, whatever is at the top of your list of concerns, I'm going to make a recommendation to you free of charge. And that is, move everything down and move this concern, this problem, up to the top of your list. And that is, whatever else is on your list of concerns, this concern, in terms of what God says and what God states in relation to the world, in relation to all of humanity, this ought to be your primary concern, which means that you ought to be in a frame of mind where you recognize that you've got to respond to God or address this with God immediately. Immediately. So whatever other business you have at hand, I'm going to recommend to you very kindly that you put it off until you get your business with God straight first. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, there's something that I also want to bring to your attention as it relates to this problem that humanity has. And that is, if you look up at the end of verse 22, just before Romans 3:23 here, in verse 22, it points out that there is no difference. There is no difference. And that means that there is no distinction regarding those who have this problem and who require, or who God requires, to exercise the faith that then leads to the righteousness that God requires. But for the time being, I want us to focus on this reality, this problem for all of mankind, that is a sin problem. Now, I know what some folks are thinking, because we live in a society where people are quite confident in their methodologies and they're, of course, concerned with what everybody thinks except God. And they feel like, well, I could fight my way out of this problem based on my own strength. I can find my way. I can put it off into a latter date, or I can address it when I'm ready to address it, or I could just flat out ignore it. But I want to call your attention to this reality. No matter what you possess, no matter how smart you are, no matter who you think you are, You cannot hide. You cannot run. You cannot get away from this reality, this problem that must be addressed before God. And that is, all have sinned. And no matter how much money you have, you cannot buy your way out of sin. No matter how much education you have, you cannot learn or think your way out of sin. No matter how many or how much material possessions or how much you possess, you can't use it to ransom your own way out of sin. There's nothing that you can do in and of yourself to address this problem. Nothing. And so we recognize that this is a problem for all of humanity, again, because God stated it so. And if you want a reference that also points this out, it's important for us to recognize that from the very beginning, God had made it clear to man, the first man that is, that you were going to have a problem if you disobey what I communicate to you, and that is what I command. And oftentimes we look at the commands of God as if they're optional, as if they're something that God communicated that we can take or leave. But I want to call your attention to Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, where it reads, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man." He did not ask him. He did not suggest. He commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Every tree. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." And here's the judgment that shall follow. "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And he did not say, "You may die, it's possible that you could die, there are these probabilities, and we're sort of working behind the scenes on whether or not you will actually die." He makes it very clear, and that is the word of God. He gives a commandment, and then he makes it clear that if man does not obey his commandment, there is a consequence, and that is, thou shalt surely die. Now let me just call your attention to this relationship between what God commands and whether or not man obeys or disobeys God. This mindset now, it's interesting that death is just as certain as we realize as a consequence of disobedience, according to what God has communicated from the very beginning. But death is certain. Even if you don't believe that, you cannot argue the reality of death. And it's interesting, to this very moment, to this very day, people still seem surprised by death. And it's especially interesting that people seem surprised when they see rich people or athletes or Hollywood entertainers or musicians or people who are in the upper echelon of people. And when we see that they die, we seem even more surprised than the death of the common man. If you follow the news, you will find day in and day out, if you look in the obituary section, you will find that people continue to die. And then I'll tell you the words of a great poet within my family. And I certainly say that tongue in cheek. One of my relatives once stated very profoundly that, "Man, people are dying who ain't never died before." And I said, "Well, yeah, that follows. People are dying who ain't never died before." But let me be very clear about this. It should not come as a surprise that people around us are dying, and if the Lord should tarry, that will be the way of every man, woman, boy, and girl. But It should not surprise us because God has declared it to be so. And it is directly tied to what God communicated from the very beginning in Genesis, the second chapter, verses 15 through 17. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So we have a problem. We have a problem. And I'm not speaking of COVID-19. I'm not speaking of the flu. I'm not speaking of HIV or AIDS or cancer or diabetes or heart problems. No, those are serious problems, but those are not the greatest problem or the greatest concern that humanity has. The greatest concern that humanity has is the greatest problem, and that is sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, let me ask you this. What are you going to do about that problem? And even more importantly, what can you do about that problem? We're going to talk about this argument or this message that is communicated in the Word of God again in Romans 3 and 23. But we will not confine this message to this portion of Scripture, but we will expand it and see what else the Lord has to say about this. So we're dealing with everyone. We're dealing with the whole as it is communicated in God's word. And when we speak of all, we speak of whosoever. In as much as we speak of whosoever will, let him come in response to the invitation of salvation in Jesus Christ, we also have to recognize that there is a whosoever when it comes to sin. That is an all and everybody. Men, women, boys, and girls, black, white, yellow, brown, rich, poor, white collar, blue collar, no collar, everybody is included under this reality that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we look at this, we're speaking of the all, the whomever, the whosoever, the whole, as many as are humans, they are under sin. And so we look at this problem and we see that to sin is to offend God. It is to miss the mark. It is to be off course. It is to trespass. It is to go against God. We have a fault, and it's a fault that I don't care how many likes you are looking for, how many likes you get on your Facebook or your snapping or your ticking and talking or your Instagramming and whatever else you have, nobody can like you and endorse you or relieve you from the sin that you have committed against God. This is a problem. This is a problem that we must pay attention to. And when I say attention, I don't mean passive attention. I mean, we must look at it as an urgent problem that requires an immediate response. So we have offended God. We have offended God through disobedience. And this means that we lack, we fall short, we are in need of attaining the glory that is required in God. That is the praise or the honor. That is the dignity. We always talk about dying in dignity, dying with dignity. But we need to recognize that God has called us to live with dignity. And that is not self-appointed dignity. That is not self-achieved dignity. That is the dignity that can only be found in God himself, because God is the highest of the highs. He is the most worthy of all who think themselves worthy. And it is actually God alone who's worthy of all glory and honor and power. So we fall short because we are determined to offend God, and therefore we come short, or we lack attaining what God requires in terms of praise and honor and dignity and glory. And so we fall short of that because we are on the wrong side of God. That should concern you. That should concern you. So if you find, or if you have the mindset that you are not in this category of people, then I've got to tell you, the Lord disagrees. And I am going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that if it's between what you insist upon and what God declares to be so, then I'm going to side with God, and I'm going to take my chances with him. So the Lord communicates also in Romans, the 5th chapter, the 12th verse, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So all have sinned. We are back to this all, and by one man sin entered the world. We're still dealing with the whosoever and the everybody, the all as it relates to sin. So when we consider that by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and then death came as a result of that, and so death passed upon all men, we see the evidence. Oftentimes, people are preoccupied with research and statistics, and we live in an age where everybody wants to argue. They want to argue with God, but they want to take the advice of man. And I'm telling you, the Lord has communicated the result of sin, and it doesn't matter what religion, whether you follow religion, whether you don't follow religion, the reality of death cannot be argued against. You cannot conclude, well, there is no death. Well, God has declared it to be so, but you want to see death as something that you can continue to fight against and find your way out of, when in actuality, there is no relief from death apart from God, specifically Jesus Christ. And we're going to work our way to that reality, but we've got to deal with the issue. We cannot recognize the importance or the magnitude or the importance of the solution until we recognize the magnitude of the problem. And it's a problem. Because when you look at research and statistics and all the things that people are determined to follow in order to find their way in this life, as somebody once said, who needs research and statistics when the evidence is overwhelmingly obvious? And it is overwhelmingly obvious that death is a reality as we know it in this life. And so we continue to be surprised by the reality of death, but we ignore the root cause. And the root cause is not I have a cough, it's not I have a fever, it's not I knew I shouldn't have gone out and exposed myself to this or that. The root cause is what we inherited, and that is the sin of Adam, the sin of the first man. By one man, sin entered the world, in Romans 5, verse 12. And again, death is the result of sin. So if you're tired of the consequence of sin, then I would think that you would be more determined to pay attention to what the Lord offers as it relates to sin. But the scripture, as is pointed out in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, the scripture has concluded all under sin. Everybody is concluded or included to be under sin. And we've got to, again, recognize that God's word communicates this reality. And if you have no regard for God's word, then you certainly don't have any regard for God. If you have no regard for God or his word, then you certainly have no regard for sin. If you have no regard for sin, then you have no regard for death. If you have no regard for God, his word, sin, and death, then you certainly have no concern about perishing and going to hell as we understand it. So that is something that I would say makes you quite foolish to ignore the reality of sin and death, to ignore the fact that God has stated this as a fact, and to ignore the opportunity that God is going to provide and has provided in his son, Jesus Christ. So again, we are looking at this as it relates to humanity's problem. Humanity has a problem. And if you can hear me, if you are human, you raise your hand and you raise it nice and high, and I'm going to wink an eye to you and declare what God has stated to be so. You have a problem. And I'm going to move from humanity's problem, and I'm going to follow it up with God's observation and conclusion. So we have humanity's problem, which is sin. All have sinned. And if you're part of the all, then you are part of the sinner congregation, the sinner generation, if you will. And we're going to look now at God's observation and conclusion. Now, this is referenced in the third chapter of Romans, verses 10 through 12. And I'm going to use the actual psalm, P-S-A-L-M, that it references, because it includes an additional verse that I want to address here. And that is God's observation and conclusion. So it's referenced in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, but I'm going to use the actual psalm that is referenced. You will find this both in Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, and in Psalm 53, verses 2 and 3. And it reads as follows: "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." So again, this is referenced in the third chapter of Romans, verses 10 through 12. But I have read from Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. You will also find this in Psalm 53, verses 2 and 3. So we deal with here with God's observation and conclusion as it relates to humanity's problem. That is, first of all, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. And why did he do that? To see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And again, we look at the Lord from heaven looking down upon men. And if you ever wonder where God is, look up. Look up. And we need to stop equating God with a tree or with a cloud or that is God's handiwork. That is not God himself. That is the manifestation of who God is and what God has done, but that is not to be confused with God himself. So the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. So we know that we often say the Lord sits high and he looks low, but he doesn't look low in the sense of doing harm to man. He looks low with the intent to express and demonstrate his love, but he cannot do that apart from his righteousness and his truth. And if we're going to know God, if we're going to seek to draw closer to God, then we have to recognize not just who he is, but where he is. God sits above the heaven of heavens. He is the King Most High. He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So he looked down from heaven. God observed to see if there were any that did understand and seek him. So he took a peep or a gaze, as it were, down upon the sons of men. In the event that you are determining within your heart, well, I know I'm good. You know, there's some people who want to take their chances against God. They want to, as people often say, respectfully disagree. Well, if you disagree with God, there's nothing respectful about it. So this is something that we need to realize as it relates to the Lord looking down. He has an observation. He's looking. And if you want to doubt the reality that God looked down, then I tell you, you have every right to do so, but I can assure you that it will not turn out well for you, because when God looks down, he looks down with intent. So he looks down and he communicates what he observed when he looked. So he looked down from heaven, the highest place of his habitation, and he looked down upon those who are the sons of men. Those who basically are human, who are living in this life. And he looked at the sons of human beings, those who are produced by mankind. And again, if you are a man, woman, boy, or girl, then you have been produced by mankind. And if you have been produced by mankind, then sin came upon you because sin entered the world through you. And again, the evidence is overwhelmingly obvious, so I will not waste time with the research. The results speak for themselves. So he looked to behold, to see, to consider, to discern, to gaze and find out what we are doing in this earth. And not in the sense that God needs to be informed, but in the sense that God needs to bring to our attention how we're living. And oftentimes we ignore, again, the reality of how are we living? That question, how are you living? And what does God think of the way that you're living? And again, he's come to his conclusion, and his conclusion is he wanted to see by his observation if any stood out, if there existed even one who sought after God to worship him, to draw near to him. If there was one who existed among all of humanity in the midst of mankind. And you know what he concluded in verse 3? They are all gone aside. And then there's again this call to our attention, this word all. It is continually revealed. All have sinned and come short. And we've all gone aside. We are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. You say, what about me? He says, no, not one. So if you want to petition God on your own behalf, you're already starting out with the odds against you. And there are more than the odds against you, because we often say, if God be for us, who can be against us, according to God's word? But we also say, if God is against us, who can be for us? So we have to realize that God made an observation and he came to the conclusion, everybody's declined, everybody's departed and fallen away. They have gone out of the way. What way? The way of righteousness. If sin is rebellion against God, then what can you offer God if you're departing from him, if you're walking away from God, as communicated in Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. He came to this conclusion. Everyone is rebelling against God, revolting, turning aside, withdrawing from God, and they've altogether become corrupt. That is corrupt in every way. If you look at the way that we live and you consider the things that we are capable of, the depravity and decadence that is pervasive throughout the world, that's not limited to the United States. That's all over the world. It's in the third country as well as the first country. It doesn't matter. Men are depraved, and we have to admit that. And even if we don't, God has already made it known. He's observed and he has concluded, and we give the evidence. So we have altogether become corrupt. We have altogether become corrupt. And he says there is none, not a man, not a woman, not a boy or a girl who exists, not one exists who does good. And again, we may argue otherwise, but you send that memo up to God and you let us know the response that you get. Okay, and we'll wait. But in the meantime, I am giving you, one, humanity's problem, and then two, God's observation and conclusion. He looked down and then he concluded that there is none good. Everybody has gone out of the way, and everyone is corrupt and rebelling against God. I'm going to leave you there now. We're going to stop there, and Lord willing, we will pick up again next Sunday at the same time. But until then, tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.